The message is entitled, What Are You Full Of? On the 21st of September 2025, starting with a reading from Acts 8, verses 14 to 24. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into or in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money? You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Now you might be surprised that Simon, this is not Simon Peter, this is Simon the sorcerer, made such a bad mistake that Peter came out with, May your money perish with you, and because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. This was especially surprising following the fact that Simon, that very Simon, had recently been baptized. If you go back a bit into Acts, it puts things in order and in perspective. So if you go back to Acts 8, 9 to 13, we read this. Now for some time a man named Simon, that's the Simon we're talking about, had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, This man is the divine power, known as the great power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. Now, what exactly happened here that Simon the sorcerer could make such a terrible mistake that he asked Peter to pray for him? Well, it seems that although Simon was categorized as a baptized believer in Jesus, there were still things from his past clinging to him and affecting how he thought and how he spoke. His desires were still unchanged in certain areas of his life. He wanted the ability to impart the Holy Spirit. Now you think, well, surely that can't be a bad thing, can it? But he wanted that ability as if it would be a good addition to his self-importance and greatness. You could say that Simon the sorcerer hadn't changed much, really, and that the act of believing and being baptized into the name of Jesus hadn't really solved all his problems. In fact, it looks like he was still full of himself as opposed to full of Jesus. You've heard the term, haven't you, no doubt, that he or she is full of themselves. It's not a very endearing term, is it? There are similar modern terms that are best not repeated here, actually. So he or she is full of or they're full of this, full of that. Either way, whatever it is they're full of, the observer doesn't really like it much. It doesn't come across as a good thing. Bottom line, in cases like Simon the sorcerer, you can't just have Jesus as a kind of optional add-on. It doesn't work like that. And sadly, I've seen too many cases where it seems that any evidence of being born again or being a new creation is sadly lacking. Sometimes it looks like more a case of the leopard not able to change its spots. And that's just the point. It can't. The leopard can't change its spots, and neither can you. You have no real power to change yourself from within. Nothing and no one can change your heart except for the Holy Spirit. If you look at Matthew 12, 32 to 37, we get this. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So what are you full of today? What have you got stored up in your heart? There are different reasons why a person might be bitter or sad or depressed or anxious or nervous or doubtful, etc., etc. But more often than not, there's something we can do about what we're full of and what comes out of our mouths. Some people say, you are what you eat, don't they? Now, if you don't eat anything, you'll get very thin, very ill, and eventually I guess you'll die. And if you eat the wrong stuff, fatty, salty, highly processed foods, then eventually there'll be a negative effect on your health and mental attitude. If you just eat too much, you'll end up being overweight and suffer in all kinds of ways. Lack of energy, aches, pains, high cholesterol, higher risk of heart disease, stroke, cancer. You'll be full of something, but probably the wrong stuff. Stuff that can make you slow down and enjoy life less. On the other hand, there is something that you can eat in abundance and never get ill, and the results are always positive. Jesus realized that not everyone who followed him were doing so for the right reasons. In fact, it makes you wonder how many people still do what is illustrated here in John 6. John 6, 26 to 29. Jesus answered them, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Some of the people he was addressing were there because their flesh benefited from being in his presence. They got fed with bread. They were literally full of bread, and maybe weren't as interested as they should have been regarding what Jesus had to say. They were just full of bread. That kind of attitude isn't going to change you spiritually at all, is it? In fact, you're likely to go looking for the next handout or feel good from the church, so to speak. That kind of person may well be associated with a church, but are they in a relationship with Jesus? This next scripture can be quite confusing if it's the first time you've ever heard it. And if you take it literally, it's a problem. But here it is anyway. This is what we're supposed to be eating in abundance with no ill effects. From John 6, 51 to 56, Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." That's really hard, isn't it, that one? Jesus quickly irons out any confusion which might be bubbling up in people's minds regarding what he actually meant by being the bread of life. And in John 6, 63 to 64, Jesus clarifies that it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. "The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. So once again, I ask you, what are you full of today? What are you filling yourself with? If you read the words of Jesus like your life depended on it, you probably have quite a fair-sized reservoir of what he said inside you, ready to come out, to overflow, wouldn't you? My youngest son, who is now 20 years old, can eat nearly all day long and always be ready for more. He never seems to be filled for very long. He's still growing, bless him, and getting bigger and broader and taller. And we, in a way, should be the same. Not so much regarding traditional food, if you tend to eat less as you grow older anyway, but regarding scripture, a vast amount of what we read, we don't remember. But with constant trickle feeding, we will begin to store the word in our hearts. It does happen over time. With repetition, we build spiritual muscle and keep on growing in the faith. We develop the ability to tell people what we've read, what we understand. How are we going to share what we know about Jesus and what he said if it doesn't overflow from our hearts and our mouths? You're going to hand them a book? The term filled with the Holy Spirit is mentioned many times in the New Testament. Do a word search and count them. Notice how and why being filled with the Holy Spirit happens, when it happens, what it results in, and how many times the word joy is somewhere nearby in the narrative. It seems that the two are closely associated, being filled with the Holy Spirit and joy. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In fact, the scripture literally says in Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. There's no quicker way of weakening your faith than stopping reading the Bible. I don't recommend you prove that statement to be true. Stopping eating in the traditional sense altogether is a really bad decision. Whether it's traditional food or spiritual food, either way, it won't do you any good. And it will make you weak. You've heard that little saying, haven't you? 7 days without prayer makes one weak. 7 days, week, yeah. Don't have to explain that. And it's the same for reading the Bible. You'll lose a very good habit. And probably you'll start another habit instead, which won't be as good. Something, of course, that couldn't be any better than what you've given up on. Oh, and don't forget, drinking is even more important. Both in the natural and spiritual, we're told and told and told we don't drink enough water. And John 14:13, Jesus answers the woman at the well, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Did you get that? He has to give it to you. He has to give it to you free of charge. And you, me, we have to drink it. Do you remember that play, Oliver? When he wants some more, can I have some more, please, sir? Because clearly, he wasn't full. And we are invited to do just the same thing. Can we have some more, please? And it's all there. Help yourself. Father, we thank you that you've laid it out for us, made it very easy, and yet we're stubborn, we're lazy, obstinate, want to do it our own way, and that's not the way you tell us to do it. So Lord, bless us, we pray, forgive us, and help us to keep on keeping on in difficult times. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and encourage us as we move forward into the future. An unknown future from a world's point of view, but everything that you promised us, Lord, is yes and amen. And we have lots of good things ahead of us. In Jesus' name, amen.